There is no more powerful force than a people steeped in their history. And there is no higher cause than honoring our struggle and ancestors by remembering. When I was asked to preach today by Dean Kathy, she did so by saying that I was to kick off Black History Month. And so that will be my focus today. Black history is American history, although it has not always been recognized as such, and still isn't by many. When Barack Obama was elected president, many voiced the opinion that we had finally achieved Martin Luther King's dream of a non-racial America, where everyone is judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Some folks have even begun to question whether we still have a need to celebrate Black History Month. In response to that, I say, let's look at why and how Black History Month got started in the first place. In 1926, after centuries of blacks being excluded, not only from mainstream America, but also from the textbooks in our schools, the African-American historian Carter G. Woodson created Negro History Week, which was then expanded to Black History Month in 1976. Woodson's vision was one of unity and inclusion. He said, "What we need is not a history of selected races or nations, but the history of the world void of national bias, race, hate, and religious prejudice." That is a goal that we are still struggling to achieve today. We can learn a lot about a community, a country, a church even, by what they choose to acknowledge, respect, and remember. And you can really learn a lot if you look carefully at what they choose to elevate and celebrate. But we may learn even more by what they choose not to acknowledge, what they choose to forget, its transgressions, its disappointments, its embarrassments, its overt acts, and its glaring omissions. Last year, we celebrated the 55th anniversary of the March on Washington and the passage of the Voting Rights Act. We celebrate the passage of the Civil Rights Act and the repeal of the poll tax. These are things that are widely celebrated in the Black community. But unfortunately, the suppression of voting rights and other instances of racial discrimination have reared their ugly heads again. All one needs to do is look at the glaring disparities between blacks and whites in income, employment, incarceration rates, educational achievement, and health status to see that race still matters in America. As I said earlier, Black history is American history. And while the story and achievements of African Americans are celebrated every February, the contributions made by African Americans and the struggles still being faced deserve recognition every day of the year. Black history entered the mainstream in this country when the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture opened on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. The museum describes itself as, quote, "a place of meaning, of memory, of reflection, of laughter, and of hope. It should be a beacon that reminds us of what we were, what challenges we still face, and point us towards what we can become," unquote. As we honor those who have made history, we must also recognize that we are history in the making. Through our collective work, commitment to equality, and mutual engagement, we can and we must, in the words of former President Obama, continue to right the wrongs of history and make our world anew. We are facing an unprecedented time of intolerance and the reemergence and return to prominence of hate groups like the Ku Klux Klan. By the way, they are openly recruiting on college campuses across the country. We must all speak out against racist and discriminatory practices in our own communities and across this country. Many of the rights we fought for during the civil rights era are under attack again. I'm often reminded of a quote by the Italian poet Dante, who said, "The hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in times of great moral crisis, maintain their neutrality." As a nation, we have a month of recognition for the men and women of color who have paved the way for all of us. We recognize them for their hard work, tears, and for those who died fighting for equality for people of color. I am proud to be a woman of color born in these United States, but I have to tell you that this month is always a time of reflection, rejoicing, and expectation for me. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. preached from that pulpit, right over there. And so in the spirit of that historical framework and just outright honesty, I feel comfortable sharing a few things with you about what Black History Month means to me in terms of the reflection I spoke of earlier. There may be others here today who share some of these experiences. As a time of reflection, I am reminded of some painful truths. I am reminded that I have been called names that my mother did not name me. I am reminded that there was a time when I had to ride in the back of any form of public transportation. I was raised in New York. I could sit where I wanted, but when we got to the Mason-Dixon line, you got up and you went to the back of the bus or the back of the train. That is a reality of my life. That is a reality of all our lives. I am reminded that there was a time when I could not eat a sandwich at the counter at Woolworths or have an ice cream soda. I am reminded of having to drink from water fountains that said colored only. And I am reminded that we dare not leave New York without the Green Book. I don't know if you know what the Green Book is, but I'm happy to talk with you about that after the service. In fact, trips had to be planned out carefully to avoid being stopped, being jailed, and perhaps even being lynched once you got into the Deep South. I am reminded of the humiliation of having to step off the sidewalk if a white person approached. And I am reminded of my own family's connection to slavery. In some ways, it is a story of success and perseverance because we found ways to survive, to preserve our culture and our families. I'm not embarrassed by my slave ancestors. In fact, I am in awe of their strength and their humanity. My great-great-grandfather was a slave. His name was William Owen Van Vaxen Goodloe. He was illiterate, but he was not unintelligent. He fought in and survived the Civil War. So I am constantly reminded that we all stand on the shoulders of the giants who sacrificed a great deal, perhaps even their lives, to pave the way for a better tomorrow for those who would come after them. The organizers, the activists, the people that marched, people who had fire hoses and police dogs turned on them, people who spoke out and spoke up, people like Fannie Lou Hamer, Paulie Murray, Bayard Rustin, and more familiar names like Rosa Parks, Angela Davis, and Martin Luther King Jr. Not only is Black History Month a time of reflection, it is also a time of rejoicing. Every February, we celebrate and thank those African Americans who have gone before us for giving us the big H, hope. And the good news is that I'm still dreaming, hoping, and having faith in a different kind of world, and I hope you are too. I still believe there is a world for us which comes from hard work and perseverance and working together. I still dream of a world where love for others exists and prevails over power, money, bigotry, and hate. I dream of a world where love can make room for the other, and a world where we have visible signs of the living Christ among us. But this kind of world is going to cost us something. It is going to demand that some tables are overturned in the temples, to borrow from another gospel, and a resolve to never rest until every human being is respected and cared for. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I want to share a little story with you. There is an icon in an Austrian cathedral which depicts a small town or community in which people can be seen walking the streets of the town as they attend to the tasks of the day. In the foreground is a large table with people sitting around sharing a meal. Everyone looks quite ordinary except for one thing. A glow or halo encircles the head of each and every person. The icon is titled Xenophilia, which is the love and friendship of strangers. Paul Waddell writes that it was the icon's title which invited him to look at it differently, because it suggested that not everyone walking the streets or sitting at the table was a citizen of that town. It seems that some were strangers and outsiders and immigrants from elsewhere. But as he described it, all were able to enter the town because there were no walls surrounding it or nothing to suggest that some were welcome but others were not. Anyone could feel at home in this town because everyone was welcomed as a friend. This little town embodied the befriending hospitality of God. Everyone who walked its streets glowed with the holiness because they truly had learned to love whatever neighbors came their way, even those who were easy to fear and exclude. Everyone in the painting, Waddell wrote, radiated the goodness of God because whether they were host or guest, citizen or stranger, love was being given and received. It was a holy exchange. As we share in the celebration of Black History Month, my prayer is that we leave this place changed and committed to respect, love, and care for one another. It will not always be easy. It will require much of us, and it will definitely move us out of our comfort zones. But I believe with all my heart that this type of world is possible for all who believe it to be possible. May God grant us each the courage, faith of those who have gone before us, so that we may continue this work of transformation together. Amen.